Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Father, we give you thanks for the fruits of the earth in their season, and for the labors of those who harvest them. Make us, we pray, faithful stewards of your great bounty, for the provision of our necessities and the relief of all who are in need, to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Joel. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Reading from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high places, for that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat?' Or, 'What will we drink?' Or, 'What will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The Gospel of the Lord.
It is my pleasure to welcome the Reverend Beth Choflat to be our preacher this morning. Beth was ordained from this cathedral, and she has a remarkable and very unique ministry here in Jacksonville. Beth is called a canon missioner, and what that means is that her church has no walls. You can find Beth out on the streets talking with the homeless, or at Sulzbacher leading Bible studies. Sometimes she's at St. Mary's. Her ministry exists out on the streets, primarily with the homeless, the drug addicted, and the poor. And I'm grateful to have us here to speak with us on this Thanksgiving Day.
Thank you.
Welcome, Beth.
May only your word be spoken here, Lord. May only your word be heard. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Later on today, each of us will likely be enjoying some kind of wonderful meal. We'll sit down and break bread with family or with friends, and we'll relax and enjoy the abundance of God's many gifts. Themes of food and of hospitality run throughout Holy Scripture. My mother Sarah's first denomination, the Moravian Church, regularly celebrates a love feast. The usual order of worship is interrupted as people come into the sanctuary from the back, bearing baskets full of warm rolls and mugs full of hot coffee with cream. The entire congregation partakes in this shared meal, which in its simplicity is holy and life-giving. Food is important. Jesus thinks so. When he walked among us, he frequently invited himself to supper. One blogger describes Jesus' earthly ministry this way: Jesus shared lots of dinners with bad people. Jesus' practice of seeking out liars, cheats, prostitutes, and thieves, his practice of loving and fellowshipping with people just as they are and just where they find themselves, flies in the face of the theology most prevalent in our culture. It flies in the face of the idea that those of us who are incredibly blessed must somehow have God's favor in a way that others do not. We must be living right. We must be doing something to deserve this favor. And of course, what comes along with that thinking is the idea that folks who are struggling, who are down and out, who are losing their jobs, whose homes maybe are underwater if they are fortunate enough to still have one, these folks must somehow be doing something wrong. This theology is so pervasive that most folks don't think consciously about it. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing well, with prospering, but we make a mistake when we draw a direct correlation between our worldly success and the unmerited gift that is Jesus Christ. Over and over, we tend to get sucked back into works righteousness, this idea that we earn our blessings, we earn our salvation even, rather than the truth that we all sin and fall short. The good news is the incredible mercy and generosity of Jesus Christ, who poured himself out for all, for all. Imagine this. Imagine living a life defined by chronic instability. Imagine being a teenager who has grown up in a volatile environment. Maybe dad walked out, or maybe your parents struggle to find regular employment. Imagine going without food on some days, sleeping at grandma's one week, at an aunt's house the next week, and then with some friend, and so on and so forth. Imagine trying to do schoolwork while constantly worrying about wearing out the hospitality of family and friends. And then imagine hearing this morning's gospel reading. Don't worry about what to wear or what you'll eat. Don't worry, God has your back. Wouldn't it be easy under those circumstances to conclude that God had somehow abandoned you? The text from Matthew is beautiful and poetic, but it needs the balance of 1 Timothy, which urges us to pray for everyone, but in particular to pray for those in high places and positions of power and influence. Why single them out? Because they're in a position to help us move toward a more just society. I want to tell you a little bit now about this concept of a church without walls. It is a call for the body of Christ to go out into the world where the people are. First and foremost, it is a ministry of presence. It is something akin to Jesus inviting himself to dinner in the most unlikely places. Alcoholics Anonymous and other 12-step programs model this radical hospitality well when they describe themselves as a society of people who would ordinarily not mix. This church without walls is not just about ministry with street folks or people living in shelters. It's attracting some who are regular churchgoers, but who are looking to engage with a world of hurt, to find a way of living out their faith that is urgent and real. Others are among the fastest growing segment in our culture, those who identify as spiritual but not religious. Many struggle to see the relevance of what it is that we do within our parish walls. Some of these folks are being drawn to this church without walls, and some who come will eventually find their way into churches with walls. One of the things I've been doing is to walk around the streets and in parks, wherever daily life happens. Anyone who is curious about this has an open invitation to come with me. So far, all takers have been folks who are completely unchurched, but they're hungry for authentic connection and for meaning in their lives. Next month, we hope to launch regular outdoor worship. One of our parish youth groups is among those who've expressed an interest not just in helping out one-off, but in forming a meaningful community beyond the church walls. Jesus calls us to come together with those who are like us and with those who may seem quite different. When we take the risk to move out of our comfort zone, we place ourselves in a position to be transformed by God. Let me tell you a little story about how the Holy Spirit is creating community. Just 6 weeks ago, we started offering coffee fellowship and morning prayer outside on Wednesday mornings at Clara White Mission. We serve around 400 cups of coffee to more than 300 folks who line up outside. Around 9:30, a group of us gathers in a small circle to reflect on scripture and to pray. Yesterday morning, as I was setting up outside, a man called me over by name. "I need to talk to you, Mother Beth. I need to tell you what's going on with James." He proceeded to tell me about how one of our regulars had re-injured his hand but would not go to the hospital. This man and his friends were worried. "I know James confides in you," he told me, "so maybe you can help." Later, when I saw James and I spoke with him about his friend's concern, he was blown away. "Really? Somebody came to you about this? About me? Wow, maybe they really care about me." I told him he has some good friends. Can you believe what has developed quite organically in our little community in just 6 weeks of serving coffee and praying together? The most fundamental things that we all long for, community, connection, meaning, hope, these are springing up. Jesus tells us, "Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Strive for a just, merciful society where all people are valued and included." When we shut out those who are different, when we shun those who make us feel uncomfortable for any reason, we are saying no to the kingdom of God. We all do this from time to time. It's a symptom of our flawed humanity. But we need not try to force ourselves to move from our protective no straight into an open and vulnerable yes. If we're willing to open the door of our hearts just a crack, we make way for the grace of God to gently bring us from no toward the possibility of maybe, just maybe. And that, my friends, is enough to begin. Amen.
Thank you.
May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. Happy Thanksgiving. We're so blessed that you're here today, and thank you, Beth, for being with us and for the incredible work that you do. We're so grateful. And proud. You can be proud when someone's ordained out of your place and goes and does stuff like that. That's great. I want to welcome you all to lunch after this service. We're having a Thanksgiving meal together. This is the first time we've done this, but it's just awesome. We've had 100 people RSVP, so you're more than welcome. I'm sure there'll be plenty of food, and we're so grateful to share a meal with you after church. This coming Sunday is the final Sunday of the Christian year. Can you believe it? It's called Christ the King Sunday. And the Sunday after that begins the season of Advent, which is one of my favorite seasons, the four Sundays before Christmas time. On Advent, we'll have a special Sunday where we're making Advent wreaths, and there's lots to do, no Sunday school, and a wonderful Advent fair. As you're thinking about preparing for Christmas, I know that all of you are going to go shopping, aren't you? Probably. Well, a great place to go shopping is the Cathedral Bookstore, which has not only books now, but lots of gifts. But all of the proceeds from the Cathedral Bookstore go to St. Mary's Mission in Springfield. So rather than going to Walmart or Target, if you go to the Cathedral Bookstore, the money that is profited will go to a wonderful cause. So I encourage you to think about shopping here for Christmas time, okay? We are so thankful to you, Father, for all the many gifts that you give us, including the gift of each other. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. At your command, all things came to be, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time you sent your only Son, born of a woman to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood he reconciled us, by his wounds we are healed.
And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread.
accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith. Let us say together the general thanksgiving, which is found on the final part of your bulletin. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him, at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.